But this is called the Exodus Factor, and you'll understand, I hope, as I'm bringing this message, why I've entitled it this. It is an important message for us. I've been asking the Lord again when to bring this message, and there's been a number of confirmations that's happened over the last few weeks. So today I'm going to bring this message, and hopefully I'm going to do my best. It has been a pretty awful week, I have to say, for me, for our family, and for things I've had to deal with this week. There's been issues after issues after issues of things I've been trying to deal with. And so I want you to bear with me today, because I'm not sure if I've done all the preparation I need to do, but God's here. Is that right? And I know he wants to speak to us, and I just want to make sure I'm in tune with him. So we're going to look at, first of all, Joshua chapter 3. We know the story of Joshua. Joshua chapter 3, verse 14. So when the people broke camp to cross over the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest, yet as soon as the priest who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up to a heap to a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. While the waters flowing down the Sea of the Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, were completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. People crossed over. Can you say the word crossed over? Crossed over. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed by, until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. So in ancient times, in ancient biblical times, the people of God were called the Hebrews, but they weren't always called the Hebrews. They were called the Hebrews from the time that they crossed over. Can you say crossed over? So from the very time they crossed over the Red Sea and then crossed over the Jordan, they were known as the crossover people. They were called Hebrews. Hebrew means crossed over. Now Hebrew, the word Hebrew in Hebrew is Ivrim, I-V-R-I-M. If it's got an I-M on the end, it's plural, okay? If it's just got an I on the end, it's singular. If it's I-M, it's plural, Ivrim. Now, Ivrim comes from the root word avar, which means to cross over. So the Ivrim, the Hebrews, are the people who have crossed over. And in order to leave the land of Egypt, they had to cross over the Red Sea. In order to enter the Promised Land, they had to cross over the Jordan River. So they are the crossover people. Who are they? The crossover people. So they leave one land and they enter another. They end one life and a new life begins. Do you see what I'm coming from here? Okay. So in Exodus chapter 12, verse 51, when the people of Israel first left Egypt, it says, on that very day the Lord brought the Israelites out of Egypt by their divisions. It's fundamental and common sense that we cannot go into something without leaving something first. Does that make sense? In order to enter, we have to exit. The book of Exodus is about exit. It has a whole book written about the people leaving one place and entering another. Exiting is as holy as entering. You can't have one without the other. You can't enter unless you leave. You can't enter the new unless you exit the old. Does that make sense? Say to the person, you can't enter the new without exiting the old. But these people of God who were called the Hebrews when they exited Egypt and then travelled over the Red Sea and then travelled over the through Jordan, through the Red Sea, through Jordan, are not the only Hebrews in the Bible. There are other Hebrews in the Bible. The other Hebrews are people who have followed Jesus, the Lamb of God, the Messiah. We've looked at this, the Tole Elohim, which is Jesus, the Messiah, the Lamb of God. That's his title in Hebrew. So there are crossover people today that are not just these people that left Egypt. They are people that now are followers of Jesus Christ. They are Hebrews in spirit. You and I are Hebrew in spirit. We have crossed over because of Jesus from one life into another. So an Ivri, you're an Ivri, say to the person next to you, you're an Ivri. That's a term of endearment, by the way. So if someone says to you, you're an Ivri, please don't be offended. You have crossed over, you've passed through a barrier, you leave one way of life, you enter into another way of life. You've experienced two lands, two realms, passing from the old life to the new life. So in the Old Testament, on the night of the Passover, before the people were going to be delivered from bondage, you know the story, we've talked about it. Each of the families had to take a lamb, a sacrificial lamb, and they would kill the lamb and they would put the blood over the door. We've talked about this. We know the story, don't we, well? And when the angel of death came, the angel of death looked and was the blood over the doors. If it was, he would pass over to another house. And if it wasn't, he would stay at that house for a time and the firstborn would be killed. And they were told, once they've painted the blood over the beam, that they are to stay in the house. They're not to leave the house at all until morning. And when morning came, they were going to leave. They were going to go through a doorway from an old life into a new life, into a new life of promise. They would leave the land of bondage. They would leave their old lives. They would enter a new life. And in their new life, they would have a new identity. And part of their new identity was they were now going to be called Hebrews. They would experience a new realm. They'd experience a new land. Now, unfortunately, because of disobedience, which can stop us at times being or enjoying the blessings that God has for us, the older generation did not go in. Church, this generation is going into our land. There's no disobedience here. We're going to do what God's asked us to do. Is that okay? And we're going to talk about that in a minute. So you're nodding your head even before I tell you what we're going to be doing. New identity. Our identity is in Christ. It's not in who we are. It's in who he is. And we've talked about that, haven't we? We'll look again, a little bit about that again. Now, in the New Testament, on the Passover of the Messiah, the key event of the day was the Messiah's death through the cross, made of beams of wood, marked by the blood of Jesus, the sacrificial lamb. So even when the people of Egypt, Israel, were coming out of Egypt, God already knew what was going to happen to his son. This cross was not an execution state. This cross is a doorway. It's not a doorway to another world, but another way of living, another existence. It's a doorway that allows us to leave the old life and enter a new realm with a new life. And that's the importance of the cross for us, church. It enables us, through what Jesus has done on the cross, to leave our old life. Because remember what we said, when Jesus was nailed to the cross, and when Jesus cried out, "It is finished," all our sins were dealt with on the cross. It enabled us to move into a new realm, into a new way of living, into a new existence. Isn't that true? So isn't it amazing how God does things thousands of years before, even Jesus' death, God had a plan. And you know, even then, God had a plan for this church. He already knew that you were going to be here today. Isn't that amazing? He already knew exactly that you were going to be born and what he wanted you to do. The person who is born again is the Ivri, the Hebrew, the person who has crossed over, who has left the old life, entered the new, who has passed through the barrier through faith in Jesus Christ the Messiah, and has now passed from the realm of darkness into the realm of light. Aren't you glad you're in the realm of light? You know what? There are a lot of people walking in darkness today. There are a lot of people in Clinton's card shop in darkness, even though the lights are on, that need to change into a different realm, into a different way of life, a different existence. Jesus said in John 3, verse 3, and this is an important verse because we need to explain to people what it means to be saved. It means to explain to people what it is for them to become a crossover people. Jesus replied in John 3, 3, "Verily, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." John 10, verse 9, Jesus said, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. These are verses you could learn this week. These are verses you can highlight in your Bible so that when you have the opportunity, and you will, to tell people about the love of Jesus, you can use these verses to help explain to them what it means to be saved. Jesus himself, the Lamb of God, the Messiah, is the King of the Ivrim. He's the King of the Hebrews. He's the King of those who have crossed over. And only through him do we have the power to cross any barrier, to leave any darkness into light and enter our promised land. This was one of the verses that really confirmed to me that we should do this sermon this week. Because we can preach a sermon at any time. I could get up and preach a sermon about most things. But it's important to hear what God is saying and for us to tune into what he's saying. And this verse is a verse, I believe, that God really spoke to me to confirm to me that we are going where God wants us to go. Therefore, let's read it together. Is it up there? Yeah. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, let's read it together. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. Let's read it again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. Where's the old? Where's the new? Where's the old? Where's the new? Are you a new creation? Then where's the old? And where's the new? Right now. The new is here. The new is here. This is a new season for some of us. We cross over to become a new creation. We exit Egypt, which is our old way of life. We enter into the promised land, a new way of life. Let's return back to Genesis, actually, and find the first person actually who was technically actually the first Ivrim, the first Hebrew. Exactly, the first Ivri, the first of those to do that. Genesis 12, 1 to 3. The Lord has said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. And then what does he say? I will bless you, and I will make your name great. And then what does he say? And you will be a blessing. So do you know that God wants to bless you? Who knows that? Who believes that? God really wants to bless you. But also, he wants to bless you for a person, a purpose. Do you know what the purpose is? That you will bless others. We cannot keep what we have, what God's given us, to ourselves. We can't. We can't keep the good news of Jesus Christ. We can't hold on to the good things that God's given us. We need to go and to bless other people. We're called to bless others. Would you tell the person next to you, do you know today you and I are called to bless others? So Abraham, or Abram, was actually the first Hebrew, the first of the Ivrim, the first Ivri. The first thing he had to do was to exit. He had to leave his comfort, and he probably came from a very rich family. He had probably loads of security around him. And God said to him, in order for you to be blessed, and in order for you to bless others, and he didn't even know the blessing he was going to be to others at that particular time, you need to go. Go from the land, from the country, your people and your father's household, to the land I will show you. The rest and all the blessings, all the promises of the promised land and the future, all rested in the word, this small word, which is go. Everything rested on these two words, or these two letters of this word, which was go. In the New Testament, we find that Jesus called his disciples to come with him. But in order to do that, many of them, they had jobs, and the first thing they had to do was to leave their job. So some of the fishermen, they had to drop their nets. They had to get out of the boats. They had to leave their old way of life. If they didn't leave, they couldn't go with Jesus. Today, as God's people, you and I are spiritual crossover people. Jesus calls us to go, to move, to follow, and to enter into the blessings he has for us. who wants to enter into the blessings he has for us and to bless others. To move into the blessings he has for us and to bless others. Now, I think God wants to bless us in a way we've never been blessed before. I do believe that. But it's not just about us. Part of this purpose for him to bless us, apart from that he loves us and we're wonderful in his sight, not in our sight, but in his sight, is to bless others. And part of this church's ministry and mandate is to go and to bless other people. I didn't know what Jane was going to say, and I'm going to share some things with you, which you may think Jane and I had a conversation, but we had no conversation about this. But we can't know any of these things unless we're willing to leave. You know, many people ask for a change. They want something better today. People are thinking about who they're going to vote for. They want something better. They want something better than they've had. They want some change. They want some things to be different. They want something new, but few people are willing to make sacrifices. Few people are willing to leave. If we want to go to a place where we aren't spiritually, we must first leave where we are. It's the same as in the spiritual as in the physical. We are to leave the old and we're to cross over to the new. In Ephesians 4:22-24, it says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which has been corrupted by its deceitful desires." And Paul talks to the people here who've just been baptized. They've got saved. They're getting baptized or being baptized. And he's giving them this teaching straight after they've been baptized. "You were taught with regard to your former ways of life to put off your old self, which has been corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind." To be made new in the attitude of your mind. "And to put on the new self, created to be like God, in true righteousness and holiness." We've been saying that our identity is in Christ. It is. Everything we are, everything we do is in him. In order for us to understand that identity, sometimes our attitudes, our mindsets need to be changed. You know, when our attitudes and mindset is changed, we behave differently. Do you know that? When we think differently, we behave differently. See what Paul is saying? Now you need to put on the mind of Christ. You need to let your mindset change. You need to understand who you are in Christ, but also understand what God has for you and what he wants you to do. And you're to put on the mind of Christ. And then as you put on the mind of Christ, you will be changed. And as you're changed, your mind is changed, your behaviour will be changed too. What is the outworking of this sermon today? Every sermon has to have an application. Otherwise, what is the point of just learning? When Jesus preached, at the end of his preaching and his teaching, he asked people to do something. What does the go mean that Abraham was called to? What does the come that the disciples were called to do? What does it mean for us today as Christians living in this world, apart from that being a really good story? Apart from being a really good story how Abraham left, apart from a really good story how the people were freed from bondage from Egypt, apart from the really good story of Jesus calling the disciples who changed the world. What does that mean for us today? It means, first of all, that we have crossed over spiritually from darkness into light. Isn't that good news? God has allowed us, and God has called us, and God has enabled us, and God has made it possible for us to move from one realm into another, from darkness into life. It means that now we put on Christ and we understand who we are in him, and we behave like him, and we go into our communities and take the blessing of God with us into it. God wants us to take the blessings of God with us into it. Now, it could mean for some people like Terry and Judy, who are over here in England at the moment, that God called them to go to another land. Of course it can. It might be today that God is raising you up to be a missionary, to go to another country. It might be that God's saying to you, you know, I believe that this is the time for you now to step out in faith, and you're going to have a new door open to you. It's possible. But most likely here today, what it means is God wants you to go into our community where you live. Where you are. where your house is, where you go shopping. For us, it's being his hands, his feet, his words, his love, his compassion. And to introduce others to Jesus and show others how to cross over from darkness into life. Our job is to introduce people to our friend Jesus and say, and by the way, do you want to have a different life? Do you want it to be different for you? Because it can. Let's see if we're in agreement before I carry on with the sermon. Is that okay? When we gave our life to Jesus, Jesus came and lived in our life. Is that true? Yes or no? Amen. So therefore, if Jesus lives in our life, then the presence of God is in our life. Is that true? Yes or no? Do you believe that? Do we walk like that sometimes, that the presence of God is in our lives and with us wherever we place our feet? But he's there, isn't he? And we ask for the presence of God to come, and I do it. We all do it. We say, Holy Spirit, come, presence of God, come. But he is actually already here, first of all. We just want more of him. Is that right? So the presence of God is within us, first of all. Each of us carries the presence of God wherever we go. If we carry the presence of God, see if you agree with me, and he's living within us, and he never changes, then surely the power of God is living within us. Would you agree with that? Does everybody agree with that? So if his presence is here, his power is here, within us. Those two things are amazing, aren't they? The presence and the power. But there's a third thing within us. And that's his authority is within us. It's not just his presence, it's not just his power, but he has put his authority within us. Is that not good news? It's good to remind ourselves of who we are in Christ. This is our identity. When we give our life to Jesus, who we are in Christ is that the presence of God lives in us. The power of God now lives in us. And his authority is within us. Look at two scriptures, Luke 9 verse 1. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. I believe we have the same power and authority because Jesus lives in me and you. What do you believe? Do you believe it? Are these just words only, or do you believe it? Luke 10 verse 19, I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the powers of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. I believe we have the same power and authority because Jesus lives in us. What do you believe? Do you believe it? Now, I have to tell you, when I went to Kenya and a big black mamba came in front of me, 6-foot mamba, I didn't want him to bite me and go, oh, I believe the power of God's in me. I hit it with a stick 6 times and killed it. Well, he didn't, but it was close by. But do you know, I prayed in Africa and I've seen blind eyes open. I've seen a foot that was gangrenous, that flesh was hanging off, that you wanted to throw up. And I wouldn't put my hand on it. I tell you, put a hand on the head. Because I didn't have enough faith, to be honest. Then, 3 days later, this person's dancing around in the field and their leg's perfect. You know. Crossover people, which is you and I, carry his presence, we carry his power and we carry his authority. Is that all right? Is that good? We're going to expand on this because I want us to just see if I'm right, if my theology is right. Because as it's recorded, one of my senior leaders might just listen and say, Robin, that's right. So let's go to the Old Testament for a minute before we come back to the application. Elijah. Elijah's the prophet. He has a protege called Elisha. And Elisha says, I want to do what you do, Elijah. And Elijah says, the only way you can do what I've done and do greater than what I've done is to be with me when I ascend into heaven. And he's there. Elijah ascends into heaven. The mantle falls down. Elisha puts it on him. And Elisha has the anointing that Elijah had. He has the mantle. And he does even greater things, I think, than Elijah. He had the calling of a prophet and the mantle came upon him. Just bear with me as I just digress a little bit. Moses, before Moses died and he disobeyed God and God was going to remove him for disobedience. And let's remember, sometimes we don't always see what God wants to do if we're disobedient. We need to get that in our hearts. God wants us to be obedient. It's really important, obedience. As parents, we want our children to be obedient, don't we? It's important. Obedience is really key. And God says to Moses, Moses, you're going to die. The angels are going to take you away. But before you do so, I want you to do something. I want you to place your hands upon Joshua. And he does so. And the mantle, the anointing that Moses had to lead the people now falls upon Joshua. Both Elijah and Moses passed on the mantle, the calling and the ministry. Now, when Jesus' ministry came to an end, just before Jesus left, he's going to do something amazing for his disciples. And he tells them what's going to happen to them. And then afterwards on Pentecost, which we're going to enjoy in a few weeks' time, something happens. But with Jesus, there is a fundamental difference. The mantle did not just fall on one disciple. He didn't choose John the Beloved who put his head upon Jesus and rested upon Jesus. He didn't just choose Peter and reinstate Peter and say, only you can have this, Peter. His mantle was so great, his power was so great that it fell upon all the disciples. And we find that in Pentecost. And you and I are given part of the Messiah's mantle. It's too big for any one of us. I can't wear it on my own. We all share this mantle. Millions of Christians today, 87,000 people will become Christian. And 87,000 people, God will pour out his calling upon them and anointing. In his mantle, our calling and ministry is found. Because of his anointing, we have a high calling. I want to tell you, everyone in this room has a high calling. I haven't got a greater calling than you because I'm the pastor. Every one of us in this room has got a high calling. Do you believe that? Because sometimes we just exist day after day and just try and get through the day. But actually, the anointing God has placed upon us is a high calling. God has given us his anointing to fulfill this high calling. In his power and authority, we have to step out and to fulfill our calling. So I want to make some practical suggestions today. This is not an exclusive list. It is something for us to think about today as the Crossover People at Oasis Christian Centre. I want us to think about how we're going to meet our communities. We're already doing that. We've already made a start. There are ministries that the church do in the community that are already touching communities now. But how are we all going to do that? Do you know in the UK alone there are 13 million people that are below the poverty line? Did you know that? 13 million right now that cannot afford to eat, that cannot afford to pay their bills, that are just existing. How many of those people live in Redditch? Any idea? Anyone want to guess? Do you want to know the exact number? A lot. There are a lot of people living in Redditch. I see them every day. A lot of people living below the poverty line. Now, I know the gospel message is just not for the poor. It's for the whosoever that believe. It's for the poor and the rich. Of course it is for everybody. But we've already started with the poor and the needy and the vulnerable. And I want us to press in the rest of this year and see what God wants to do with the poor, the needy and the vulnerable. Is that okay, church? I want us to do it together. I want everyone in this room to be part of what God wants to do. Who do you think are the most affected class of people by poverty in this nation? Shall I tell you? Single men. There are more single men that live below the poverty line than anything else. You know what the second is? A single parent with a family where one or more of the children have got autism or similar issues. There are now hardly any help for these families. If you're a single person, you can't work because you've got to look after the child. You're in this trap and you don't know what to do. There's not enough food for you, so then you get mental health issues and you're trying to deal with all those kind of things. That's the second. Do you know what the third is? Parents on low income. Two parents on low income on zero wage hours or very, very low income. And Redditch has a lot of these people. Services after services have closed down for people. So that now, do you know, if someone wants to try and go and get help, they'll knock on a door. And somebody say, oh, I can't help you. So they'll then go to a second door. And they'll go, oh, I hope this person can help me. And you know what they'll go? I'm sorry, I can't help you. Can you imagine how they must feel after the second time they've put themselves out to try and get help and nobody wants to help them? Do you know what they do? They give up. They go, I can't put myself through that again. I can't be humiliated in that way again. I just can't go. You know, when people come to the food bank that we do, 5,800 people have come through our food bank. A quarter of those are children. Do you know, some of the people come through the door so ashamed. They're ashamed that they've got to come and ask for food. Our food bank, so you know, is helping people in a number of ways. We're giving food. That's good. We're also signposting people and helping people find services in the area. You can point them to our food bank. You can bring them along and say, why don't I come with you? If you need food, and we'll get a voucher and I can tell you how to do all that kind of stuff. And then come along with them. I want to tell you that many are suffering because of poverty from two things, anxiety and depression. There are more people today that are anxious and depressed than ever. And part of it is because they don't eat properly. And when you don't eat properly, you have bad health and you have bad mental health issues. And the amount of people that are anxious and depressed, mental health issues are on the increase in Redditch. Drug abuse is on the increase in Redditch. Alcohol abuse is on the increase in Redditch. And a lot of it is because of anxiety and depression. The problem is today people are just overwhelmed by their circumstances and the world system for helping people in the UK is completely broken. Completely broken. It's not just a bit of it's broken. You can't anymore put the dots together and make a picture. It's broken. It's bust. And lots of people are not getting any help that they need. What would Jesus do today? If Jesus was here speaking instead of me today, what would Jesus be saying? What would Jesus go and do? He would go to where the broken are and he would minister to them. Do you believe that? This is why I believe so important that the church should be involved actively, social action. Because when Jesus helped people, he did practical things. He fed them. He healed them. He's a very practical saviour, our saviour. He didn't just say, you need to be saved and then, oh, by the way, I've got to catch the bus and I need to go home for my dinner. He said to the disciples, what have you got? Go and find out what food we've got. And they go, well, there's not enough money, Jesus, to feed all these people. He says, well, what have you got? So Jesus starts with what we have got in our hand. What have you got in your hand today? What do you have that God could multiply and bless? Because that's what he's asking us to do as a church. I believe that. He would ask us to take his presence, his power, his authority into the situation. And so he sends us. He says, my child, go with my power. Go with my presence. Go with my authority. And do the stuff that I've done. So what can we do? I was so blessed last week when Dennis said something that I'd written already in my sermon notes, which is good, isn't it? That almost means that God is confirming it, doesn't it? I think he does. This is what he said, if you weren't here. He said, when you wake up in the morning, you ask the Lord, what do you want me to do today? The first thing you say to the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do today? What is it that you would like me to do? And you know, when we ask that question, we start to put on the mind of Christ. We start to think the way he thinks. We start to listen to what he's saying. How about we start the day by asking the Holy Spirit to show us somebody in need? How about, these are examples, that near you, you know of a family, a single parent that has a child with ADHD or autism, and they're struggling. These are just ideas. This isn't necessarily something that I think is the strategy. It's an idea, but I hope it is Holy Spirit led. You know of a family with a child, with an autistic child, who they are at their wits' end. What can you do? You could go and cook them a nice, healthy meal. You could knock on the door and say, do you know what, I'd really like to help you today. Would you mind accepting this meal? I know things are tough for you. Would you mind accepting this meal? It's amazing how people think and feel when they've got food in their bellies and that someone cares. From there, you might be able to drive them to an appointment. You might help them wash their clothes. You might help them cut the grass. Or, dot, 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 you fill in the blank with that family. Who knows what might happen as God opens doors for you. How about looking for someone who's struggling to pay for their food at the supermarket? I did this once. Not to give me a big head, but I did it once. You know when you're really impatient? Are you any of you impatient at the checkouts? I try and find the shortest queue. And even these fast things aren't fast enough for me. I remember once, this young lad, not having enough money to pay the bill, to pay for the food. And I could see he's looking at the thing, thinking, how can I put back? I ain't got enough money. You know, when it comes up and you see his face, someone's face change, and thought, he hasn't got enough money. So I just said to him, I'll pay for all your food. Don't worry. And I did. And I just paid for his food. He said, why did you do that? I says, because I wanted to and because God loves you. That was all I did. That was all I said. On Friday, Jane and I had a long days with various things. But I went up to the Chinese, all-you-can-eat Chinese food. Very nice up there, by the way. And I'm having a really busy day. I've been there till early in the morning. I'm not going to get home till 10:15, 10:30 at night. And I decided I've got 20 minutes. I'm going to go and get some food. So I'm up there and there's a guy with three children. And I can see that he's asking the lady, how much are the meals? Are the children's meals free or are they cheaper or how much are they? And he's going to, and the kids are going, can we go in, Daddy? And he's going, I haven't got enough money. I haven't got enough money to go in. And I can see he's like embarrassed because he's saying, shh, I haven't got enough money. So I gave him some money. It's not a big thing. It's a bit of money. And you know what he said to me when we were in the all-you-can-eat buffet, where I can afford to go and have loads of food, if I'm honest. You can tell that I'm not starving. He came up to me and said, thank you, sir. That was so nice of you to do that. One of his children got an issue with some kind of health issue. I don't know what it was. We could all do that, couldn't we? You ever been there with somebody when you've seen they're struggling? What about looking out for somebody? You see them there on their own. They sit on a bench. There's quite a lot of people that sit on a bench. Sometimes people sit on Olive's bench out here, because they're lonely. Isn't that interesting? How that bench blesses other people. What about you going through the town and you notice someone sitting there and they're all on their own and something in your spirit says, go and talk to them. And you sit next to them and you say something like this. I noticed you're sitting on your own. Are you okay? I was just a little concerned that you don't look okay. Now, they might be thinking, who's this weirdo? You know, yeah, I'm fine, thank you. Just go away. Or it might well be that inside they're thinking, I wish someone would stop and talk to me. I'm so lonely. I've got no friends. I've got no family. I've just lost my husband. I've just lost my wife. Don't know what to do. And the world's going by. And nobody cares. We care. Go and sit next to them and ask them if they're okay. What about if you're in the doctor's surgery at Wynne Yates by our charity shop and you're there and you notice someone comes out and they're quite distraught, they're in tears, they've had some news which isn't the best. You could go over to them and say, do you know, I noticed you're upset, I'm really sorry. Would you like to talk? And you could take them to our charity shop in Wynne Yates and you could go to Esther and say, I haven't got any money, Esther, but can I have a free coffee? And she'll say, of course you can. And you just listen to them and let them talk. And then afterwards say, do you know, I'm a Christian and I think God could help you today. It's not a big thing, is it? Not a massive thing. And the list goes on and on and on. And when they say to you, why are you doing this? You tell them, because Jesus loves you. Because Jesus thinks you're important. Because Jesus thinks you're so precious. That today, somehow, I don't know how he's done it, but he's brought me across your path just to tell you that he loves you. You can tell them how special they are to him. Maybe you might even lead them to Jesus and help them be a crossover people themselves, right there, wherever you are. Because I'll tell you what's happening today in our nation. People are coming to know Jesus through encounters like this. There are Christians that are going into the byways and the highways and or doing their normal stuff, but starting the day by saying, how can I put the mind of Christ on Jesus? What do you want me to do today? You could say, well, I'm too old and I'm too busy. We're all too busy, to be honest. I could say I'm too busy, but I took an opportunity that God put before me for a few seconds just to do that. I want to tell us and remind us our nation is broken. It's in crisis. Even when you come to the hustings on the 1st of June, if you come here with all other people from around the town that will choose to come, I want to tell you no one person can fix Redditch problems. Nobody can. No one person can do it all. The only person that can fix it is Jesus. And it's time for us, church. We've got a lovely building. We have lovely worship. We have lots of nice, good things that we can come to, you know. And it is a time that God wants to bless us. But it's to bless other people as well. And I think for the rest of this year, we need to bless as many people as we can. We need to make it a priority to bless as many people as we can. Let's look at Isaiah 6 verse 8. And I have finished then. And then the worship team are going to come. Talk. This prophet Isaiah has a vision of the Lord in the temple. And in this vision he hears the voice of the Lord. Now I think that's pretty scary. I think if we're in this room and we heard the voice of the Lord speak, I think many of us would be on the floor, face down, because of his presence. And the Lord says this, whom shall I send? And whom will go for us? Is there anybody, he says? Is there anybody in this temple that's enjoying the worship, enjoying the praise time, enjoying the priest bringing the word of God? Is there anybody here who's willing to go? Who can I send to a broken town? Who can I send to a broken nation? Who will go for us? And Isaiah responds and he says, here am I. Send me. This is a here am I, send me moment. This is a here am I, send me time. Where I believe God's heart for us is for us to go. Share everything that we can. With anybody that we can. And if some people think we're strange, we are. Doesn't matter. But I think I've got this feeling for every one person that thinks we're strange, there's 10 more that are desperate, that want an answer. Some of you are going to hospital appointments yourself because you're going through stuff. And you'll sit next to people that are going to have some bad news. And you can say, you know, even as I am right now in what I'm in, do you know what I can do? I could pray for you because I believe God answers prayer. You're all doing something. What about in work you do kind acts to people? People that really get up your nose. People that always say the wrong thing. People that always do the wrong thing. Why don't you just be nice and be kind? And give them kind words when really they're just so broken in their job. And they don't know what to do and they're struggling themselves. And they've got a nice brave face. They're, I'm okay, everybody. Look at me. And inside they're just crying out, God, I don't know what to do anymore. Can't do this job. You can do something where you are. All this comes down to what Jesus always did. Acts of kindness. Do you know why I call that charity acts of kindness? Because that's what Jesus does. That's all he's asking us to go. He's not asking us to you know, move mountains. He's asking us just to go in our everyday place, whatever we're doing, to start the day by saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do in my situation? And then just do it. So church, are you ready? Are you a here I am, send me person? And if you are, I'm going to ask you to stay seated at the moment. But as we just sing with song, what song are we singing? Okay. Actually, just play. Just as Alan's playing, just for the next few minutes. When you're ready, and don't say it for me, because please don't do anything for me when it comes to this. It won't impress me anyway. It'll only impress him. That's the person. If you can stand, you stand. And if you can't stand, you can raise your hand. You know. But it's between you and him. And I think this is our time now to do this. I might be wrong. I know we should do it anyway. But I think that God is doing something amongst us and stirring something up. So this picture of Jesus coming to where the sick was. And there's a man that's been sick for many, many years. And he was at a pool. And when the water angel would come and stir the waters, the first person in the pool would get healed. And I had a picture of Jesus walking through our town. And people were getting healed. But then the picture changed. And it was some of you in the room. God's stirring the waters now. Time for you to go. Time for me to go. Time for us to go. Okay, churches, close our eyes for a minute as we respond in whichever way we want. And if you're ready to respond and say, here I am, Lord, it's a here I am moment. There. Please stand or just put your hand up. And then I'm going to pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you today for your wonderful love towards us. For the way you've guided us. The way your Spirit has guided us in our life so far. But Holy Spirit, now we're asking, we'll be so super sensitive to what you and what the Father and what the Lord Jesus wants to do in our lives and in our town. Father, I'm praying for a divine supernatural understanding of what you want us to do, each of us. And a sensitivity to your voice and your spirit. And we're tuning in now, Lord, to what you're always saying, but we're now starting to hear it. So we know. And Lord, I pray from within us, we would rise to be a people that go in the highways and the byways and the communities and just show acts of love and kindness and bring your presence in that situation and bring your power and bring your authority and see the power of God move in broken, broken lives. And Redditch, we call you into the kingdom. We call you today as the Lord is stirring the waters. We call you to know him. We take you out of the realm of darkness and we lift you into the realm of light that you may be saved. And not just one or two, but whole households in Jesus' name. Thank you for what you're doing. We love you so much, Lord. And we bless your holy name. Amen.